A man unprepared and unaware of danger will be panicked and injured when that danger comes. And it does come. Like a big breaker 100 meters offshore. A man out there who is not prepared, who is not sober, who does not know how to deal with being caught in a breaker. He is tumbled, he's jumbled, he doesn't know up from down. His back hits the bottom, his head hits the bottom. When he finally does get back up for breath, he is even less prepared for the next breaker that's about to hit him. You need to be sober-minded in order to meet the dangers and distractions and challenges that are sure to come your way. A man who doesn't watch the waves will be caught unaware when that big breaker hits him. But if he is sober, he will at least be able to deal with the wave once it does hit him. He won't hit his head on the bottom, but the wave will still move him far from where he wants to be. A wise man once said, "When you see danger coming, go and meet it halfway." To get through the wave, you need to know where to meet it. And to know and to see the wave, you need to be watching. Now keep in mind as I preach this sermon that I am fighting for humility, for sober-mindedness, and for watchfulness, and I continually need to repent. I am painfully aware of my own shortcomings. I am not staring down at you as some high and mighty preacher, but I preach as a fighting man to fighting men and women, and our only hope this morning is that the Holy Spirit will use His Word to change us, to convict us, and to encourage us. But I also preach as a man who is being forgiven and renewed by the Spirit day by day, to men and women who are also being built up and renewed day by day, unless you are not a Christian, in which case you need to come quickly to Jesus for protection from the devil. Now please turn in your Bibles to Revelation chapter 12. Revelation chapter 12, we're going to see some of the activity and some of the reason for the devil's hatred against us. Revelation, the last book in the New Testament, right at the end of your Bible, chapter 12. "And a great sign appeared in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun, with the moon under her feet, and on her head a crown of 12 stars. She was pregnant and was crying out in birth pains and the agony of giving birth. And another sign appeared in heaven, behold, a great red dragon with 7 heads and 10 horns, and on his heads 7 diadems. His tail swept down 1/3 of the stars of heaven and cast them to the earth. And the dragon stood before the woman who was about to give birth, so that when she bore her child, he might devour it. She gave birth to a male child, one who is to rule all the nations with a rod of iron. But her child was caught up to God and to his throne. And the woman fled into the wilderness, where she has a place prepared by God in which she is to be nourished for 1,260 days. Now war arose in heaven, Michael and his angels fighting against the dragon, and the dragon and his angels fought back, but he was defeated, and there was no longer any place for them in heaven. And the great dragon was thrown down, that ancient serpent who is called the devil and Satan, the deceiver of the whole world. He was thrown down to the earth, and his angels were thrown down with him. And I heard a loud voice in heaven saying, now the salvation and the power and the kingdom of our God and the authority of his Christ have come. For the accuser of our brothers has been thrown down, who accuses them day and night before our God. And they have conquered him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. For they loved not their lives even unto death. Therefore rejoice, O heavens, and you who dwell in them. But woe to you, O earth and sea, for the devil has come down to you in great wrath, because he knows that his time is short. And when the dragon saw that he had been thrown down to the earth, he pursued the woman who had given birth to the male child. But the woman was caught, was given the 2 wings of the great eagle, so that she might fly from the serpent into the wilderness, to the place where she is to be nourished for a time, and times and half a time. The serpent poured water like a river out of his mouth after the woman, to sweep her away with a flood. But the earth came to the help of the woman, and the earth opened its mouth and swallowed the river that the dragon had poured from his mouth. Then the dragon became furious with the woman and went off to make war on the rest of her offspring, on those who keep the commandments of God and hold to the testimony of Jesus. And he stood on the sand of the sea. Now let's turn back to 1 Peter chapter 5, just a few books previous. 1 Peter chapter 5. And let's pay careful attention to his word to us. We're going to start halfway through verse 5. Clothe yourselves, all of you, with humility toward one another, for God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, so that at the proper time he may exalt you, casting all your anxieties on him because he cares for you. Be sober-minded. Be watchful. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour. Resist him, firm in your faith, knowing that the same kinds of suffering are being experienced by our brotherhood throughout the world. And after you have suffered a little while, the God of all grace, who has called you to his eternal glory in Christ, will himself restore, confirm, strengthen, and establish you. To him be the dominion forever and ever. Amen. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we come before you this morning. Father, we pray that by your Holy Spirit you would work in our lives. Father, we pray for this time right here and right now. We pray that your Holy Spirit would work through the preaching of your word to your people. Father, we pray that all of us here might be built up and encouraged and strengthened. And as our brother Mike prayed, we pray that we would be doers of the word and not hearers only. In Jesus' name, amen. These last warnings and instructions by Peter in his first letter can be remembered with the letter D. The dangerous devil, defeating the devil and the coming dominion. Or they can be remembered with the letter R. Ready yourself, resist the devil, have the right perspective, and remember God's result. Now this sermon is on the first part, readying yourself with the right mental state, sober-mindedness, and watchfulness. It is organized under the two commands about sober-mindedness and watchfulness, and the warning about the devil. The first command is in verse 8, and it is to be sober-minded. So how can you be sober-minded? Let's read this again, verse 6. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, so that at the proper time he may exalt you, casting all your cares on him, because he cares for you. Verse 8, be sober-minded, be watchful. We are in great danger if we are not sober-minded and watchful. And the humility of the previous verse is required in order for us to be sober-minded and watchful. Sober-mindedness means that you are clear-headed, thinking rightly, you are measured, you are not panicked. But pride will cloud our thinking so that we cannot be sober-minded. Our pride will make us so nearsighted that we cannot be watchful. The devil will make quick work of us in our pride. A proud person cannot be sober. A proud person is drunk on himself, on his own desires. He sets his mind on the things of the flesh, not the things of the spirit. A sober person sets their mind on the things of the spirit. A man or a woman who is anxious all the time is also not sober. So our first question, are you proud? C.S. Lewis said, If you think you are not conceited, and children, conceited means proud. If you think you are not conceited, you are conceited indeed. Or do you battle pride and seek humility? You need to be battling pride and seeking humility. Do you give in to anxiety and let it control you? Or do you fight the anxiety and seek to cast it off? Although we cast every care on Christ, we can't sit back and relax at the beach. No, we need to be working out in the gym of being sober-minded to build the foundation of an established faith in order to resist the devil. We need to be training our eyes to be fixed on Christ and to be keen observers of enemy activity. Because a sober person is realistic about the dangers they prepare by putting on the armor of God. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 7. Those who sleep, sleep at night, and those who get drunk are drunk at night. So brothers, are you sober or are you drunk on anything? Are you addicted to anything? Paul goes on in verse 8, but since we belong to the day, let us be sober, having put on the breastplate of faith and love, and for a helmet the hope of salvation. Close quotes. So the sober person arms themselves. The sober-minded person's hope is firmly on the grace in Christ that will be revealed. It is a faith that is set so firmly that it endures all trials. A firm hope that protects them from distractions and temptations and keeps them stable and steadfast. So if you are not a Christian, you need to know that your hope is not fixed on Christ. Or if you are not a Christian and you are hoping in Christ that He will save you, you have a false hope. But it is so simple to have a true and effective hope. Repent and be saved. To repent means that you turn. You turn away from sin and following your own desires, and you turn to Christ. You turn to following Jesus, and you can't do this on your own. You need to call out to Jesus to save you. You need to ask Him to forgive you your sin and to give you faith in Him. So if you have not done that, there is nothing more important for you right now. But let me warn you, it is a free offer, but it will cost you everything. Your life will no longer be your own. Your desires will no longer, they are demanded of you to do what He wants and not what you want. Your allegiance will belong to Him, what He says you must do. And when you fail, you must humbly repent and ask for forgiveness. Now our next main heading is, how can you be watchful? How can you be watchful? Verse 8, be sober-minded, be watchful. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion seeking someone to devour. The word watch carries the idea of being vigilant, being active, of giving strict attention to something. It is sometimes translated awake or alert. To be watchful, you need to, number one, fix your eyes on the standard. And number two, you need to watch for attacks. If your eye is not fixed on the truth, it's hard to identify the lie. If your eye is not fixed on the truth, it is hard to identify the lie. You can't be sober-minded and watchful unless you fix your attention in one place. I'm going to give you 5 seconds to think about what that place is. That one place of attention is Christ Himself. Hebrews 12, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which clings so closely, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before Him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. And Jesus said, if anyone would come after Me, let him take up his cross and follow Me. Now, children, you might be asking, what does it mean to take up our cross? It means that you decide every day that no matter what the hardship, no matter how difficult it is to exercise self-control, no matter what other people say about you, you will follow Christ and you will do what He says. It says, looking unto Jesus, following Him, Jesus said, I have given you an example that you also should do just as I have done for you. So we fix our eyes on Him and do as He did. Now, if your faith is fixed on following a set of rules or keeping a set of rules, your faith is dead. If your faith is on Christ and following Him, you are truly alive. Your eyes need to be on Christ in the Bible. Know His commands, encouragements, and promises so that you can watch for the lie. Now, Peter has already said, just in the last chapter, 4 verse 7, that Christians are to be sober-minded and self-controlled for the sake of their prayers. The Christian needs to be watchful in prayer. The Bible says in Colossians chapter 4 verse 2, continue steadfastly in prayer, being watchful in it. To defeat the devil's attacks, you need to be continually watchful in prayer. We need to be earnest in prayer, leaving the result in God's hands. To be watchful in prayer means that we need to be alert to what is happening around us. Praying for specific things and not selfish things, we bring to God what we see in prayer. Jesus told His disciples just before He was arrested, Matthew 26, my soul is very sorrowful, even to death. Remain here and watch with Me. And going a little farther, He fell on His face and prayed, saying, my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from Me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as You will. And He came to the disciples and found them sleeping. And He said to Peter, so could you not watch with Me 1 hour? Watch and pray that you may not enter into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. Your flesh is weak. It is hard. It is hard to dedicate time to prayer. But we watch and pray to protect us from temptation. Also, be watchful and sensitive for how God is guiding you in His Word, for how He is guiding you during prayer. By the Holy Spirit, He may be placing an urge upon you to do something, to serve someone in a particular way, to be praying for something. Maybe to read the Bible. Don't ignore those urges. Do check if they are in line with Scripture or if they are against Scripture. There are times when I follow the urge that the Holy Spirit gives me and I see God work. And there are other times when I don't follow that urge and I see the consequences for that. Now, if a hardship comes your way and you feel like you have been run over by a truck, it is because you are not watching and being sober. When you are not watchful, you are punched around like a punching bag. You are going to burst at the seams like a rag doll. But even when you are watchful, some punches will sneak through and surprise you. And God is using this maybe to show the world how a Christian behaves under trial. Or He may be using it to teach you obedience. Now, a man who is not watchful is weak. He is weaker than he thinks. He may have a reputation of being alive, but he is about to die. Jesus said to the church in Sardis, Revelation 3, I know your works. You have the reputation of being alive, but you are dead. Be watchful and strengthen what remains and is about to die, for I have not found your works complete in the sight of my God. Remember then what you have received and heard. Keep it and repent. If you will not watch, or if you will not be awake, or if you will not be alert, I will come like a thief, and you will not know at what hour I will come against you. Do you know where you are weak? If you are not watching over your soul and repenting now, it will be too late. But there is also good news. In that same passage, Jesus says of those who are watchful, repentant, and of strengthening their weaknesses, that He will save them, and their names are written in the book of life. Now, Thomas Cranmer was Archbishop of Canterbury in the 1500s, and he accomplished much reform in England. But just when the persecution got hot, he recanted. But then just before being put to death, he publicly repented of his denial of Christ. And he was brought back into fellowship with Christ that same day as he was burned at the stake. Be careful of temptations to deny the faith. Peter understood the temptation to deny Christ. He renounced Christ three times the night before he was put to death. But he was brought back into fellowship by Jesus. He is writing to those in Asia Minor who are under hard persecution, who might be tempted to deny Christ. Now watch out for the temptation to renounce Jesus because of persecution. But the temptations that we face are usually much more mundane here in the West right now. But they can also lead us away from the faith. Watch for temptations to adultery. Adultery comes in through your computer or through your phone. But you have to be careful about real people. Real people that you interact with at work, during recreation, at church. Be watchful of what comes into your thoughts, what comes into your eyes. If you are married, be careful not to form relationships with the opposite sex that can lead to desire to spend time with them. Do not go out for lunch, just the two of you. Do not be alone together. Do not be looking for times to be in the same place, even with others present. Know your heart. Watch your heart. If you are unmarried, be wise about who you spend time with and how you spend it. Be careful that you are not spending time with someone just so that you can be with them and to satisfy your desire of being with them, just because you like the feeling of the two of you together. By all means, spend time with together to get to know them so that you can find out if it's God's will to get married. But be very careful about being alone. Whether you are married or unmarried or engaged, don't enter situations of temptation. If you are in a situation of temptation, get out right away. Don't wait for 5 minutes. Now be watchful of worldviews and teachings that come into your house and mind through music, Music is a way into your heart that bypasses the filters of your mind. You can love a song. You can even memorize a song so easily that has bad ideas. Bad ideas about marriage, about relationships. Bad ideas about God. Don't get on the wrong side of God. Satan uses this to get into your head, so be watchful about what comes into your ears. Now be watchful of the teachings and attitudes that you hear. Just because I or Brother John or anyone else has preached from this pulpit does not mean that the teaching is right, does not mean that the attitude is right. Just because you hear a good teacher online doesn't make his teaching or attitude right. God has given you a mind so that you can filter this. You need to pass all things through Scripture. Hang on to the good and drop the bad. Now be watchful of fear. Don't make decisions based on fear. Especially a fear that you are not good enough to do what God has given you to do. God has given you responsibilities and capabilities and gifts. Now the spirit of fear is not from God. God has not given you a spirit of fear, but a spirit of power and love and self-control. Now false prophets come to deceive people with words and miracles. Now, to be clear, God is still at work. He is still powerful. We still pray that God would heal people. And we see sometimes that He does, that in a way the doctors can't explain. He doesn't always do it. And that's not the basis of our faith. But some miracles are deceptive. Dark. Pharaoh's magicians turned sticks into snakes and water into blood. By real, dark, spiritual forces. Be watchful for false teachers and dangerous ideas. Paul told the Ephesian elders in Acts 20 to watch and to pay careful attention, because savage wolves would come in and men would even rise up among the elders who would speak perverse things. Satan has many demons at work in this world right now. He also has many servants among men who call themselves Christian. 2 Corinthians 11, verse 13. Such men are false apostles. They may call themselves apostles, but they are false apostles. Deceitful workmen disguising themselves as apostles of Christ, and no wonder, for even Satan disguises himself as an angel of light. So it is no surprise if his servants also disguise themselves as servants of righteousness. Their end will correspond to their deeds. Be watchful over your own self, that you are not deceived by this, or that you are not bringing deceitful ideas into the church. Now watch for attacks that come through your peers and your friends. At school or at work, when someone makes an inappropriate comment and everyone laughs, do you laugh along? Now, God has made us to work. He has made us to work hard. Jesus said, "My Father is working until now, and I am working." Watch carefully about your work. Are you working too little because you are lazy? Or are you working too much just so you can amass for yourself a kingdom of wealth on this world? Or are you working so that you can have the praise of men? If you are unmarried, by all means, work hard, long, very long hours. But whoever you are, work hard and all for the glory of God. But do not allow work to be a reason or an excuse not to fulfill your duties. Marriage and family duties, Christian duties. Now, when I talk about work, some of you may not have a job. Maybe you're a mother working in the house full time. And now just because you don't have a job doesn't mean that you are not working. If you are a stay-at-home mother, you are working hard every day, all day, at some of the most important work in the world. But even you must be careful that you are being diligent and that you are doing it for the glory of God and not for the praise of men, how other people will see your children. Now about money. Be watchful that you don't love money. It is the root of all kinds of evil. Being rich does not mean that you love money. Being poor does not mean that you love money. But when you don't have very much money, you have a temptation of coveting because you don't have it. Coveting things that money can buy, like clothes and furniture and houses and cars that other people have, is sin. Now pride, just as Satan provoked King David to pride in counting his fighting forces, so Satan tempts us with pride. Pride is rampant. I have to fight pride all the time. You have to fight pride all the time. Now watch yourself carefully when you are given responsibilities. But when other people give you responsibilities for things that are not your own. You are ultimately responsible to God in all things. Judas was given responsibility for the money bag, and he used to help himself for what was in it. He was a thief. Now don't allow temptations, the temptations of your position, to bring you into sin. Jesus said that the one who is diligently doing their duty when he returns will be blessed. That day will come. Don't be lulled to sleep. Jesus said, be on guard. Stay awake. Therefore, be watchful. What Jesus said to his disciples, he says to all, be watchful. You cannot resist the devil if you are not sober and watchful. You won't notice until it is too late for you to serve effectively, too late for your children, too late for you. Be sober and ready for the attacks. Watch for them so that the devil does not surprise you. And this brings us to our third heading, the roaring lion. The roaring lion. Verse 8, be sober, be watchful, your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking who he can devour. Many don't believe that there's a devil, or they don't believe that he can do much, but the Bible says that he is real and that he is real power. Even though he is limited to one place at one time, he has a third of the angels who fell with him. He has millions and millions of demons at his beck and call. This world with devils filled. The devil is an angry loser. We read about that in Revelation chapter 12. God created him perfect, beautiful, and blameless, but his heart was proud because of his beauty, and God threw him down. He hates God. He hates God's creation, and he tried to destroy it in the garden, but he failed. When God sent Jesus to save men and women, we read again in Revelation 12 that Satan was there to devour Jesus, but he could not. Satan knows that his time is short, and so he is furious. He is warring against Christians. That deceiver, that liar, that murderer. In Tanzania, the devil and his demons deceived the tribes along the Rufiji River to believe that trees and animals are all animated by some kind of a spiritual essence. In North America, they have deceived many into believing that there is nothing spiritual. It's all only physical. But to people here in North America who realize that there must be a spiritual realm, to them, the devil presents a spiritual realm cloaked in light, but it is really darkness. He makes the bad look good. Don't dabble in witchcraft. What looks good will consume you. The devil is behind the temptations and dangers we need to be watchful for. His demons will use any and all temptations to lead you astray. They know where you have fallen in the past. They know those weak points, and they will manipulate conditions to try and deceive you again. But take heart. No temptation has come upon you except what is common to man, and God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you are able to bear. So be watchful and sober-minded to address those temptations. The devil works temptations through persecution and does far more harm to us than being burned at a stake or being tortured by all the worst tortures that can be wrought on a human. Keep the faith. Peter says that the devil prowls around. A prowling lion is a hunting lion that is stalking its prey, that is getting ready to pounce on you. The devil is a roaring lion. A roaring lion is asserting his power. The devil is called a false, devil means false accuser, and adversary means enemy. The devil is our enemy, and he is falsely accusing us. Watch out for those intimidating false accusations. Now notice the difference between the devil, who seeks to intimidate you, to cause you to do the wrong thing in fear, with his roars and his persecution, and God, who invites you to bring your cares to Him, cast your cares on Him, because He cares for you. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour, to swallow down. The devil is not just waiting around, he is prowling with a purpose. He is seeking, he is looking, he is hunting, he is seeking someone to devour. He wants to devour you. He devours some and drags them with him to the lake of fire. He pounces on others that he is not able to take with him, but he still mauls them badly. Now, one caution about the devil. You don't walk up to a lion. You don't see how close you can get. So don't spend much time studying the devil. The Bible does not give many details, and we should not seek detailed knowledge of him. 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 20 says that we should be infants in evil. The devil is seeking those who are not ready, those who are alone, those who are unsteady, those who are weak, those who are not watching. But the devil cannot devour sober, watchful Christians. We are confident of this. Jesus said, "I will never leave you nor forsake you." God is in control. Satan is not in control. Jesus has already triumphed over Satan and the cosmic powers of darkness. The devil is just an angry loser. The prince of darkness grim, we tremble not for him. His rage we can endure, for lo, his doom is sure. When you are watchful for Satan's attacks, you should be watching for both yourselves and others, especially for those in your family, for those in the congregation of the church that you are in. in watchfulness for each other, you need to be in fellowship with other Christians. Not just gathering for a Sunday service. Not only for a Sunday service and some time of fellowship afterwards. You need to be in consistent fellowship with other Christians. Satan picks off the weak and those who are not watchful and those who are lazy and those who are alone. Our lives are following Christ in an invisible war with an invisible enemy. And just because we don't see the enemy doesn't mean that he is not there. We need to be watchful for him. This is a real war today, now, your entire life. This is a real war with a real enemy. Now, as you drive down the road of life in this war, keep your eyes on Christ. Follow him. Be sober-minded. Be confident so that you are not swerving from side to side. Be watchful in prayer. Because without prayer, you will fall into temptation. Be watchful for the enemy and for sin in your life. But don't become so fixated on the enemy that you just swerve off the road and fall into a ditch. Because you stopped looking to Jesus. Now, as we come to the end, I have some questions for you. Do you recognize that the devil is trying to tempt you any way he can? Now, you are sitting here, a Christian who comes to church every Sunday, but are you truly being watchful in prayer? On your own, at home, by yourself? Watchful against sin every day of the week? Brothers and sisters, are you sober with a hope that is firmly set on Christ? Fix your eyes on Jesus, the founder and perfecter of your faith. A mighty fortress is our God, a bulwark never failing.